Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Morning, you're right. It's Monday, another Monday. Monday. Nice hot cup of tea to start the morning. Come on, let's not lose all perspective here. Cup of tea sorts everything out. How are you? Are you all right? I hope you're all right. Genuinely, hope you had a good weekend. All right, so it is just tick past 8 in the a.m. in Greenwich Mean Time. It's Monday, the 23rd of March. In the year of our Lord 2026, how time marches on. As always, I am joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning? Good, sir.
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Great, good. Should we just get straight into it then? Let's just get straight into it. What is the legacy corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? What is that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors lying to you about by omission today? What are they trying to beam directly into your brain box? Oh, well, one thing, before we get into it, actually, there's one thing that aren't on the front pages, and I didn't see it on any of the websites, on the first few, two or three scroll downs worth of news on all the websites, but I want to bring to you, is the good news everybody, that Restore, Rupert Lowe and Restore are formally a party now. They got the green light from the Electoral Commission, and so they're a full-blown party, and that's a big thing. Because before, people could say, like, legitimately, you're not a party, bro. Why are you pretending you're a party? You're not a real party, bro. You know. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong. But now, cheers. So, yeah, that's a great thing. If you're a Restore partisan, such as my good self and many at the Lotus Eaters. So, yeah, but it won't appear in the news. Yeah. So hopefully now on polls, you'll get Green, Reform, Labour, Lib Dem, Conservative, and now Restore in there as well. You know, SNP, whatever. Rather than just having this big chunk of other. Until now, it's just been other. Like, other is polling at 7% or something. That's weird. That never usually happens. Why is other suddenly 7%, 8%? Well, now, hopefully, in polling going forward, we'll get to see how Restore itself is polling. One of the fastest growing political parties of all time. Oh yeah. I don't think it's just going to die and implode within a few weeks. I don't think it's just going to be worth 150 votes at the ballot box. But we'll see. It's what we make of it, isn't it? We'll get a ground game going. All right, so that's not in the news, but I wanted to bring it to you because, not just because I'm just a partisan, not just because I'm just a fan, because it actually is important news, right? Assuming they are polling at something like 7% or 5% or something. I suspect it will be higher than that quite quickly, but anyway. Even if it's just that, that's actually relatively important news, just in and of itself, on its own. It's more important than, like, David Beckham has got a flower show at the Chelsea. He's got a little stall with a little Beckham garden at the Chelsea flower show. It's bigger than that, right? It's actually more important than that, genuinely. Again, lying by omission, isn't it? That's the legacy corporate mainstream media's main tool. Sad state of affairs for them, really, if that's your main tool. You're trying to influence people and control narratives and things, and the best tool at your disposal is not talking about something. That's weak, isn't it? That's super weak. All right, now, without any further ado, let's talk about what's in the papers, the front pages to begin with. We've got Trump raises stakes and tend it like Beckham. I mentioned that, Beckham. Yeah, I wasn't making it up. That wasn't just pure fantasy. Picked from the top of my head. Yeah, David Beckham. It's the Chelsea Flower Show. If anyone who's not British might not know, Chelsea in West London every year has a flower show. prepare yourself for the banality of this. So it says a flower show. It's just exactly what you might think it is. And sometimes, and all different companies will have a little thing sort of showcasing their stuff. And sometimes even a famous person will be like Alan Titchmarsh. Again, if you're foreign, you might not know. Alan Titchmarsh is like a TV personality dude, gardener person. TV presenter for gardening stuff. Alan Titchmarsh will have a little garden there. Right, okay, you get it. David Beckham has got one. Big news. It's up there with, you know, it's as important as the biggest war in a generation. Okay, the Financial Times. Trump raises stakes in war with Iran. So, yeah, over the weekend, there was loads more bombing. Iran actually hit places in Israel as harder than it has before so far in this war. Some of the clips coming out you might have seen. Quite remarkable. So whether they're true cluster munitions or just lots and lots of missiles raining down, like Tel Aviv and some other places in Israel. So it does seem like, well, it is the case, isn't it, that Iran was holding back a bit. Whether this is their last hurrah, this is their last sort of big salvo or not, have we got no idea. You know, I suspect not. But they didn't go, it seems now, it is the case, isn't it, that Iran didn't go absolutely balls to the wall on day one or in week one. They did hold things back strategically, it looks like, doesn't it? Yeah. And as for the idea that the Iranian military, the politics might be something different, or is something different, but just sort of purely on the military side, that their command and control system, their command and control ability is completely wrecked. Well, it's not, is it? You know, I'm not trying to be an apologist for them. I'm not standing for them. But it isn't, is it? They fired some missiles at that Diego Garcia base, the Chagos Islands, apparently. I think they missed. I don't think they did any damage, but still. That's a long way from Iran. It's in the Indian Ocean, right? It's like something in the order of 4,000 kilometres, something like that, 2,500 miles. A long way, i.e. you'd need a very long-range missile, or a medium-range ballistic missile to do that. Apparently, Iranian long-range missiles, that type of long-range missile, though, in order to get it to that extreme range, they can only put a relatively small warhead on it. But, all right. And they're very, very inaccurate. So, a bit like a doodle bug, or even a V2. Anyone knows the World War II era munition stuff? Both the V1 and V2. Vengeance weapon, Mr. Hitler's vengeance weapon, V1, the doodlebug, which is much more like a drone, really, and then the V2, which was a missile, like supersonic missile. They were extremely inaccurate. The Germans would point them in like the right direction, fuel them up, work out the time, how long the flying time would be, fuel them up that amount, say you want to hit London. And then just firing, it goes where it goes. There's no, like, pinpoint accuracy whatsoever. So it seems like the very long-range Iranian ones are something like that. They're not particularly sophisticated, but not that that matters. I mean, it is what it is, you know. But okay, so because this will play into, all of that will play into the news this morning about Iranian medium-range ballistic missiles, or, you know, in other words, their longest-range missiles. Okay, Trump raises stakes in war with Iran. Threat to hit power plants if Hormuz Strait not opened. That is America's threat and or Israel's threat to hit Iranian power plants if Iran doesn't open the Straits of Hormuz. And Iran have said, no, we're not going to though. This is our strategy. This is our war, hopefully war-winning, or war-prolonging strategy. It's all to do with oil and closing the Straits of Hormuz. So, we're not doing that, but but also, again, the whole tit for tat thing, don't hit our power plants, otherwise we'll do even more stuff, like against Qatar or against all sorts of people, anyone, everyone. The power stations in Kuwait, Saudi, Qatar, whatever, UAE, or their water salination plants. Remember, one of those was hit last week. Because, of course, the Persian Gulf is very arid, isn't it? Very deserty. The Arabian Peninsula is all very arid. And so a lot of them rely on, to at least to some degree, water salination plants, desalination plants. So when you take seawater and you process it, so you clean it and you take all the salt out of it, and then you can use that water for whatever. Not just drinking, but, you know, on crops and everything. So it's really quite important to them, isn't it, that those facilities remain working. So we can see the brinkmanship, although brinkmanship's not really the word, it's beyond brinkmanship, just the tit-for-tat nature of it. If you blow this up, we'll blow that up, and on and on and on. But Trump gave Iran a 48-hour ultimatum to open the Straits of Hormuz, and I believe that 48 hours ends today, or at the end of today, at some point today, and Iran don't look like they're budging, or they're making noises that they're not going to abide by that. So great, we'll see how it goes. We shall see what happens with that. Also, Financial Times says, Tehran ready to reply with strikes at vital infrastructure. Okay. Israel vows to boost action this week and into Passover. So both sides still. A saber rattling. Both sides showing no sign of blinking. Okay. World faces LNG, liquid natural gas. Like natural gas. An LNG supply cliff edge within 10 days. Some countries more affected than others. Again, Asia, like Southeast Asia, most affected basically by stuff like that. I think I said it last week, didn't I? Taiwan. Formosa. I like to call things by their old names. Like I like to call Istanbul Constantinople. I like to call Sri Lanka Ceylon. Taiwan, yeah, Formosa most affected. Apparently they use loads of LNG, loads. Maybe, I saw one report saying maybe something like half of all their energy usage is LNG. Is it that much? Anyway, a lot, way more than Britain or the United States or anything. And they rely largely on it from what was coming from the Persian Gulf, from Qatar. And that's basically pinched off, isn't it? Almost entirely, if not entirely pinched off. Well, Qatar have completely stopped production. So even if the Straits of Hormuz was open. And Taiwan, Formosa, hasn't got massive strategic reserves. I think I said this last week. If I didn't, maybe it was on State of Politics. State of Politics. My other channel with Nate. But Japan, for example, has got something in the order, or did have something in the order of 200 days worth of strategic reserves. That is just a stockpile. Basically just a giant, giant stockpile. Warehouses or whatever. Filled with barrels and barrels of crude. Or LNG. That's Japan. 200 days. That's quite a lot. That's a decent amount, isn't it? Well, I mean, more than most countries even. Apparently Taiwan's only got a couple of weeks worth, if that, of LNG stockpiled. So they're in trouble. If they can't figure something else out, some deal with somewhere else in the world, or very quickly flip loads of things internally, domestically, to stop using LNG, that's easier said than done. That's not really possible. Or they somehow strike a deal with Iran. But then even then, though, it is Qatar itself, isn't it, that's the bottleneck, not necessarily the Straits of Hormuz, because do you remember we saw India was able to strike some sort of deal with Tehran to let their tankers through the straits without Tehran shooting at them. Even if Formosa was able to, shouldn't call it Formosa, it's very old. It's like over a century out of date to call it that. Even if they did strike a deal with Tehran, that doesn't mean LNG starts flowing to Taiwan, does it? All right, so some countries much more affected than others by all of this, ultimately. All right, there's a picture of a load of destruction. Is that in Israel? I can't read that. I can't read the writing on that. It's too small. I think that might be in Israel, or might be Lebanon. Could be a number of places. Could be downtown Kabul. Oh, yeah, there's a war still going on in Afghanistan. Between Pakistan and Afghanistan. Oh, yeah. Still blowing each other up there. Okay. Because Pakistan says that the Taliban are recruiting suicide terrorists and sending them into Pakistan. The Taliban say, no, we're not. That's your homegrown Pakistani terrorism. It's nothing to do with us. Who do you believe? Okay, the Times, the Venerable Times. US and Iran ramp up threats. Yeah. Neither are backing down, neither are blinking. Both are sort of going more and more. Trump gives 48 hours to open strait or power plants will be, quote, obliterated. They'll be obliterated bigly. They'll be obliterated the most. It's the best obliteration. Have you seen this? Heard about this? Tehran vows to target infrastructure in Gulf, right? It's not really. If you were Bahraini or Kuwaiti or Qatari, you're like, America and Israel are going to do something. They're going to like dial it up a little bit. They're going to do something in Iran, and Iran retaliates against us, like the Qataris say. So great, thanks guys. When this is all over, it is when, not if. When this is all over. If the Iranian regime survives, which I think it will, at this point I think it will, probably, might not. I said Friday, didn't I? We could wake up any given morning and the news is the regime has collapsed. But if it doesn't, Iran will find itself, that regime will find itself even more isolated and hated than it ever was, still though, won't it? Those countries like the UAE, Bahrain, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Oman, Iraq, you know, even like Jordan, Azerbaijan. All these countries will really hate Iran a lot more than they did before. They're always sort of, how to characterise it, each one's a different story really, isn't it? A different relationship, but a lot of them are already wary of Iran. But now, you know, you can only imagine the Bahraini government, the Kuwaiti, Qatari government, we sort of hate Iran now. You absolutely smashed our country when we didn't really do anything wrong. We weren't helping the Israelis and the Americans, and you still drew us into your game. I mean, if you was a Qatari, you'd probably resent all sides, wouldn't you? I think I would. All right. What else have we got? Channel fear as deal with France ends. There's a picture there. The small boat crisis, actually the tip of the iceberg when it comes to immigration. Millions must go, not just a few hundred thousand that have crossed on these things. Look, every single one of these invaders is a criminal. Where's the women and children as well? Stink lack of women and children if they're all just refugees. Nope, all young men. All chancers, economic migrants and criminals. Well, by definition, every single one of them is a criminal. It's illegal to do that, what they're doing, crossing the channel. So this is our invasion happening. And there's a French police just standing there doing nothing, literally just watching it. Even though we've paid them, according to that one little report, over the past few years, £475 million. Again, Brewster's Million Stars. How have you spent that much money? Where's that money gone? What's that on? What, four or five cops standing around doing nothing? That cost us, the British taxpayer, £475 million, did it? What is going on? Just standing there, just watching it. And then the deal we did have, that's going to come to an end anyway. The nonsense deal where we gave them hundreds of millions of pounds to do nothing, even that is coming to an end. Because once in a blue moon, for the cameras, purely performative, you'll see the French cops, like one of these dinghies, one of these boats, they'll go up and they'll pop it with a knife or something so it's not seaworthy. Once in a blue moon, performatively for the camera, they'll do that. At the cost of 475 million to the British taxpayer. But even that is going to come to an end. We've got to take it into our own hands. It is really, really simple. I'll say it again. I've said it a number of times. I won't apologise for it. We simply need to put the Royal Marines in the channel. Only take half a dozen speedboats. That's it, just half a dozen. 20 Royal Marines in half a dozen speedboats. And when one of these dinghies is in the channel, as soon as it enters international waters, we tow it back to French waters and drop it there. Simple. So simple. And if the French want to get all eggy about that, well, then we'll have that conversation. We'll have some sort of summit. Yeah, there'll be a diplomatic furore for a while. But that's what we need to do. Just letting these people invade us endlessly. Why? What a suicidal, what a catastrophically weak thing to allow. Who are these people? Who are they? You don't know. No idea. They could have any sort of past and background and views. Any. We know that quite a lot of them they don't just hold antithetical views to our society, civil society, but they just go on to do crime, either involved in just organised crime of any stripe or sex crime. Our government just let them in. In fact, send the RNLI. Send lifeboats to bring them in. They're in the middle of the channel. We send a boat out and draw them in to Dover or wherever, various places on the south coast. Coast of Kent and Essex, wherever. Mad. No, mad. Horrible, isn't it? To watch it in real time, in slow motion almost. Imagine if you'd asked someone in the early 2000s or the 1990s or something. You told them, in the future, there'll be a wave of illegal invaders coming across the channel, and our response to it will be to go and pick them up and bring them in. Right. And then pretend that we've got no ability to deport them. Let them use human rights legislation to stay here indefinitely. Or we might even pay them $40,000 to leave. And then they can just do it again. And then there's nothing to stop them from doing it again. Do another illegal invasion. Get on another dinghy. The Royal Marines. 4-2 Commando. The SBS. It's got to be done. Once the news gets out to the smugglers. Look at that dude. Is that dude sort of driving the boat? Look at that. That is evil. If he's the guy driving the boat. Pure evil. He's. What is that? How is that person? If the RNLI or whatever, the Royal Navy, a Border Force boat in the channel, how is that person, assuming he is sort of steering the boat and is in charge of the boat, how is he not arrested and put on trial for very, very, very serious crimes? Why not? The French police just standing there. The French are sort of our enemies on this. They're acting as a hostile enemy to us by behaving this way. Aren't they? How else can you characterise it? The French. Never could trust them. Alright, The Guardian. I'm not in the mood this morning. Guardian. There's the World Athletic Championships and some GB gals got some golds. So there you go. Iran vows to target water sites if US hits power plants. Yeah, those desalinization plants could be really bad for, you know, those, what is it, like Saudi Arabia and Qatar, I think, probably, maybe Bahrain, most affected by that. Suddenly you haven't got enough drinking water. Okay. Real bad problem, real quick. Far right fails to win key targets in French polls. So we had there was the French sort of local elections. And in France, you've got the right. I wouldn't characterise it as the far right. Like Marine Le Pen or whatever. It's not really the far right. It's centre right. Milk toast right. And then you've got sort of the far left. Like real proper full blown sort of commie left. And then you've got sort of the centre left-ish. Well, still socialists though. So I would call it far left, but just the run-of-the-mill French socialism, which is just their norm, really, they did well. So more of the same in France. Not entirely, but a fair bit. Well, actually, let's have a quick look at Le Monde. Quick look while we talk about France. Let's get everything French for the morning out of the way. Paris on Le Monde. French municipal elections. Some guy, Emmanuel Gregory. Gregor, whatever, and the United Left achieve a resounding victory. So the French electorate decided everything's all right, everything's all right, more of the same, if anything, please. France is in a worse state than Britain. Worse. It says, despite a united front from the entire right wing and centrist parties, as well as competition on the left, with La France candidate, some woman, remaining in the race. The socialist candidate delivered the United Left its most impressive victory in Paris since 2001. To me, that's weird. I guess it's a lot of the immigrants now. Their vote really is coming through. The grand strategy, the grand plan, a grand Angela Merkel-style plan of import enough foreign people and they will vote for socialism. Or things that they think are in their best interest. Maybe that's actually working. You go to Paris now. A state, you think London's bad. Paris is devastating, a crying shame. Been to Paris a bunch of times in my life, loads of times. Half a dozen times, five times, something like that. Early at the very beginning of the century. Lovely, lovely. Last time I went a few years back, was it 2, 3, 4 years ago? Completely different place. Absolutely flooded with sort of North Africans and Africans. North Africans, Algerians and sub-Saharan Africans. Flooded. Completely different place. Loads and loads of tent cities. Okay. There was a story I saw this morning before the show. But I couldn't find it in the last few minutes running up to the stream starting. But it was a story in London on Park Lane. Very nice bit of London, by the way, Park Lane. I mean, it's the second most expensive thing in Monopoly, isn't it? In real life, Park Lane is very nice, just to the west of Oxford Street. And, like, lovely places. Some of the big, lovely hotels are there. You're getting into West London just about, and it's, like, very, very expensive and very, very plush and nice. Okay. So, but on Park Lane, there is a massive tent city thing. Just loads and loads of migrants who we can't house. Well, you can't flood a country with hundreds of thousands, high hundreds of thousands, a million people a year, year on year, and house them all. You can't. So they end up homeless. Great. Still no talk of cap on migration, let alone re-migration. If you ever talk about trying to put a cap on the numbers, just a cap on the numbers, you just get bombarded with, no, more safe and legal routes. No, can't have that. More safe and legal routes, if anything. What, so they can live in a tent on Park Lane? So they can live in a tent on Hyde Park Corner? What? Outside Apsley House? You can live in a tent there. What? Anyway, Park Lane. And there's a story about how, like, this gang boss controlled it all. A Romanian dude controlled it all. Like, he was like the gang leader that kept everyone in line, except he didn't really, because everyone was just using the whole place as an open toilet. Because of course they did. It's not their country, right? Just using Park Lane as a toilet, and Hyde Park. Hyde Park's right there. Just use Hyde Park as a toilet now. And drinking all night and revelry, loudness, etc., etc. Where Park Lane used to be, you know, immaculate and nice, you know, just nice. Now it's a tent city of third world detritus that are using it as an open toilet. And it was controlled to some degree by some Romanian gangster who threatened people all the time with an axe. Who threatened to kill your kids with an axe. You're a migrant living in one of these tent city places on Park Lane. You're slightly doing things that he doesn't like for whatever it is. And he'll just come and he'll keep you in line by threatening to kill your kids with an axe. Diversity is a strength, though. It's our greatest strength. More safe and legal routes, though. All right, the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. We'll send a price of oil soaring, vows Iran. Oh, well done. Yeah, well done. Winning friends there. Sort of all they've got, though, isn't it? I've said it before. Purely from their point of view, they've got a very limited number of options, haven't they? The old asymmetrical warfare. They can't actually beat the United States or Israel in a one-on-one, head-to-head. They've lost control of their skies already. So they're resorting to this sort of thing. Tehran defies Trump's 48-hour deadline as Starmer chairs Cobra meeting on crisis. Oh, yeah. So Keir Starlin's chairing a Cobra meeting today. Look out. Whoa. Washington, Jerusalem and Tehran are on tenterhooks for what the Cobra meeting decides. Mahmood, the Home Secretary, Pakistani woman, doesn't think Englishness is a thing. Englishness is just a set of values and a state of mind, nothing else. The Home Secretary, Shabana Mahmood, says she'll deport migrants before they appeal. She won't, though. Of course she won't. It's the red meat thing. Classic thing that, what, Cleverly, Breverman, Patel did. They say something that sounds strong or tough against immigration and then just never do it. So I don't believe that for a second. The report saying is that she's just said it. She just plans to do it. Not that she is doing it. Well, no, she won't. That's a lie. That's some sort of red meat. That's some sort of ploy to just stop the hemorrhaging of support and votes away from Labour to reform or restore or even the Tories. Got no intention of doing any such thing. Of course not. How many decades have we had of the Home Secretary, whoever it's been, for decades, saying they will do something tough about immigration and asylum and deportations and things. And then it never, ever happens. Not one shred of faith that they will do that. Okay, the stark dilemma that the president never thought he'd have to face. All right, David Blair, if you say so. Art exhibition shows Jews eating babies. That's the headline. That's not just my words. If you're listening to this on just audio, I'm not just saying they're not just my words. I just suddenly said that out of nowhere. No, I'm reading a headline. Art exhibition shows, quote, Jews eating babies. Okay. Meghan looks to cash in down under. Don't care. Tim Stanley. Don't care what Tim Stanley's got to say. Opinion piece from Tim Stanley. Why would you care about that? Drones and a dog wipe out ferrets. Don't care. Romans used machine, quote, machine gun to attack Pompeii. No, they didn't. Okay, the eye paper. The real Marianne Faithful. Don't care. Do not care. Lily Allen, one woman's musical is the best revenge. Don't care. Don't care. Okay, some real news. Fuel price rises, inescapable, quote, inescapable, as pressure mounts to cap energy giants' profits. Do you remember Red Ed Miliband said he would not allow profiteering from energy companies with the oil price of crude going up and energy? He wouldn't allow profiteering from the energy companies for them to just keep upping your bill. Okay, well, the little blurb on the iPaper says, Prime Minister's cost of living advisor asks government to consider a temporary cap on profits made by energy and petrol companies to prevent firms exploiting crisis in Middle East. Starmer to hold Cobra meeting alongside Bank of England governor today to discuss economic impact of the Iran war and plans to support households amid fears of, quote, runaway, quote, oil prices. Transport and energy officials developing contingency plans, including reduction in motorway speed limits and petrol rationing in the event of a serious supply shortage. Iran threatens to strike neighbouring energy systems if Trump obliterates its power plants. There you go. Affecting your life there? Yep. Is it affecting your life? Yep. Nothing ever happens, people. Government will say you get speed limits. Think about speed limits, just real quick to say, because you remember the Welsh brought in a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit in some places in Wales. And often you'll find some climate hoax person, some environmentalist, talk about speed limits. Well, the thing about speed limits is that every vehicle, every different type of vehicle, different engine, has got a different optimal speed where it's using the fuel most efficiently. It's not just the slower you go, the more efficient your fuel use is. Not at all. That's not at all the case. I've seen a number of people over the last week or two on, like, Real News, on, like, Sky News or whatever, some environmentalist woman who obviously doesn't know anything about internal combustion engines, just talking about how you need to go really slow, it needs to be 20 mile an hour or something. It's like, that's inefficient. Again, it depends what engine. The reality is, it depends what engine. But it doesn't equate that you just go slow. For example, a big lorry, like a big 18-wheeler or something, its most efficient fuel use, roughly, depending, but roughly, is in and around 50 mile an hour, 55 mile an hour, something in that ballpark anyway. It would really depend. Not like make it go 20 mile an hour, that's really inefficient. Okay. And the better the engine is, usually the higher a speed it is, more efficient. So if you're worried about efficiency of fuel use, someone who's got a cutting edge Merc, a brand new Beamer, they want to be going like 80 to be most fuel efficient. But okay, speed limits. Okay. The Independent. It's a fairly cool picture of a B1. Britain is safe from Iran's long-range missiles, says Minister. So this is something that's in the news, or was over the weekend, on Sunday anyway. Basically, in a nutshell, so I realise time's getting on. Israel said, look how Iran was able to send a missile at least close to Diego Garcia, the Chagos Islands. Those missiles could reach Berlin, Paris and London. So join our war. You better join our war. It's everyone's war now. You're in it now. Join our war because Iran might send a V2 style missile to London. By Sunday morning, the government, the Labour government in the UK, trotted out Stephen Reid, the housing secretary, to appear on Laura Koenigsberg. And he said, no, that's not true. He just said, no, that's not true. There's no reason to think that's true. So there you go. Britain is safe from Iran's long-range missile, says the housing minister. Our government disputes Israeli intelligence claim that UK could be struck by Tehran as Trump sets deadline for regime to reopen Straits of Hormuz or have its power plants obliterated. Okay, so Israel said, it's your war now. And he was like, well, no. No thanks, though. Cheers. Okay. The Daily Mail, pure slop, trying to pretend it's not pure slop. Hugh Edwards, the real Hugh Edwards, is annoyed at the fake dramatised Hugh Edwards. Why did PM keep public in dark for 30 hours after Chagos strike? Tory leader, that's that Nigerian woman, Olukemi Badenoch, LARPing as the leader of the opposition. Well, she's the leader, isn't she? She's not LARPing as that. LARPing as being British. My mum was a Nigerian person who came here to give birth on the NHS. And now she's as British as you or I. Oh, okay. Well, it's just a state of mind, isn't it? It's just a set of values, according to the Home Secretary, Pakistani woman, Shabana Mahmood. So, all right, that makes perfect sense. Nigerian woman, who is the leader of the Tory party, accuses Starmer of culture of cover-ups over Iran attack on US-UK base. Okay, I can't even bother to comment on that particularly. What, you get it, you read it. Yeah. The Metro, gross. Unions demand plan for Iran war chaos. Do they? Power plea to stop jobs crisis. Okay, all right. The Metro. What a joke. What a bad joke. The Daily Express, it's a good paper. Man City played Arsenal in some cup or other and won. Gallagher brothers most affected. Liam and Noel went. They were there, cheering on City. Okay. UK soft touch. Oh, yeah, this is the story I was mentioning earlier. Okay, so it's the front page of the Express. UK soft touch approach let violent thug control beggars in nation's capital. Migrant gang boss made axe threats to kill. This guy. Look at the state of that. Alexis Sales let himself go a bit, didn't he? No? Alexis Sam? No? Okay. The UK's soft touch approach to illegal migrants, i.e. just letting them in and then letting them run amok, essentially, giving them loads and loads of stuff, came under fire. It's actually from a Romanian watchdog type, charity type thing, interestingly. Came under fire after the Express unmasked a begging gang boss as an axe-wielding thug. And then his name was among a group who took over part of Park Lane last year. Our investigation revealed he is a violent Romanian criminal who has been handed a restraining order for threatening to kill children. Oh, you can threaten to kill children and that results in a restraining order, not a deportation. If he's a Romanian man who's threatened to kill people, including kids, with an axe, how isn't he being deported? How hasn't he already been deported? This is crazy. This is crazy now. Because it would be un-British, would it? According to Angela the Fridge Rayner, it'd be un-British to deport someone like that. It'd be un-British. Stella Creasy would get her panties in a bunch if we deported this absolute filth. Absolute filth. I don't want this person in my country. He should not be here. Okay. Something a little bit about Wacko Jacko. Anyone old enough? He's British. That's what the tabloids used to call him when he was in the papers all the time. They called him Jacko or Wacko Jacko. There's some suggestion that his story of his crimes, alleged or otherwise, needs to be revisited. All right. Royal scandal. Cops told, talk to Andrew's second accuser. Epstein survivor urged police to quiz victim on what she saw. Met Chief Rowley praised over evidence trawl on Twisted Tycoon. Epstein now was a Twisted Tycoon. The Sun, utter filth, utter slop, going with Ian Huntley. There's a bit of a question over the taxpayers have got to pay for Ian Huntley's funeral. Well, we don't know. Look, no funeral, mourners or headstone for killer. Monsters' ashes to be scattered in secret. And the small amount that even that will cost, his family are going to pay for it. Burn in hell. Burn in hell, Ian Huntley, says The Sun. Yep, okay, fine. There's City again, winning some sort of silverware. There you go, David Beckham. Tend it like Beckham. David has his own show at the Flower Show. He has his own garden at the Flower Show. David Beckham. There you go. That's front page news. Not that the war in the Middle East, the biggest war in a generation, is escalating. No. No. David Beckham and flowers. Garden balls. They're calling him garden balls. They've gone with garden balls. Shows off his green fingers at iconic event. Oh, golden balls. Oh, sorry, they didn't call him green. Oh, sorry, I misread that. Sorry about that. They still just call him golden balls. All right. Okay. That's the papers. Let's do our poll. What was our poll this morning, Harry? Bring it up for me. Engage. So we said, pardon me, we asked you, would you join Restore Britain? Just straight up that, would you restore Britain? Nice. Glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. 86% of you said yes. I mean, we are teeing you up for you to knock it out of the park there because obviously the people that watch this show live, particularly the best people among us, the best people on the earth, people that watch the Bo Show live, best. You are the best. Clearly, blatantly, obviously. What are you going to do? Watch Mike Graham? Ugh. Get real. You are already predisposed, aren't you, to probably click yes on that. Nonetheless, 87% and 9% maybe. So it's really more like 96% of you. That's a resounding win. 4% say no. Get out. Go on. Off you get. Off you pop. Go on. Go on. Be gone with you. Don't go. Don't go. We can still make this work. Please. Come on. Come on. I wasn't being serious. Don't take me seriously. I still love you. We can make this work, baby. Don't go, baby. Come on. All right, all right, okay. All right, let's have a little look at the Israeli quarter two. So we have a quick look at the websites. Was there anything of massive note? Oh, one of the big stories that I guess it happened late last night because it's not on the front page, it's too late to go to print, was that some people set some ambulances alight in Golders Green. Anyone who doesn't know, Golders Green is a Jewish quarter in London. Yeah, they've got their own enclave. Well, there's more than one, actually. For some reason, I think... anyway, there's various ones all around the country. But in London, Golders Green is known as a very heavily Jewish-populated area of London. Golders Green. So much so, they've got their own ambulance service. Hatzola. Not normal NHS ambulances, although they look like NHS ambulances. They're Hatzola ambulances. They've got their own ambulances, all right. And some were set alight last night in a suspected anti-Semitic attack. Looks like even one of their petrol tanks went up. Boom. There you go. Anti-Semitic attack. No mention of Islam. It's just an anti-Semitic attack that's happening in Britain. Just that. Just British anti-Semitism. No mention, not one mention of Islam. Okay. Okay, all right. There was something in the Daily Mail. I thought, oh yeah, so this is big news this morning as well. Again, happened too late for it to be on the front pages. But at LaGuardia Airport in New York, an aeroplane crashed. It was, I think it was taxiing along and it hit a fire truck. Somehow a fire truck was on the runway or the taxiway. And this Air Canada aeroplane hit it. A couple of people died. Looks like probably the pilots, right? Died. And a load of other people were injured. So, yeah. There's just like, how could this happen? Sort of a thing. Yeah. Was that the front of the plane there? Maybe it wasn't the pilots. Anyway, as of this morning, the reporting is two people died in that. An accident just seems like a true straight-up accident, right? All right, there was one or two things in the Sun. They lead with Huntley burning in hell. This guy, whoever he is, Henry Tufnell, is saying the UK must scrap woke ideology and embrace energy sovereignty to help families. Yeah, to help families, and also just because it's not mental. We've got the North Sea oil reserves. Britain should have loads of North Sea oil rigs and a few more nuclear power stations. Pretty straightforward. But no, we're ruled by a freak like Ed Miliband. Look at the physiognomy on that. Physiognomy rarely lies. Look at that. What a freak. What a disgusting weirdo. To try and destroy our energy sector and economy and society. know his father was a full-blown commie, full-blown Marxist. Ed and David Miliband's father. Full-blown. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's the thing about those missiles that are long enough range, up to just about up to 4,000 kilometres, which look on this little thing, that includes London and Paris and Berlin. But, yeah, I mean, it's like a, it really is a bit like a V2. You just point it in the direction of London. That's it. And they've, and according to our intelligence, they've got no intention of doing such a thing. Okay. Some celebrity woman, Eddie Hall being strong. Great news. Rod Liddell. It's absurd that hard-working Brits lose out by doing the right thing. Yeah, he does a little comment, opinion piece about shoplifting, whether you should confront shoplifters. I wonder if he watched my piece on Friday. I doubt it. But his angle, I did read that. His angle is mainly talking about the element of it, of that you get prosecuted if you try and step in. Quite often you, trying to do the right thing, will get in trouble. And what a crazy state of affairs that is. Wacko Jacko might need to be reinvestigated. All right. Here's the thing I want to talk about. Armed to the teeth, how Trump's Marines, the US Marine Corps, are gearing up to storm Iran's unsinkable island fortresses to unlock Straits of Hormuz. Talk of boots on the ground in a limited sense. The Marines, send in the Marines. Okay, and I read this and it was reasonably interesting. Look, there's a picture of some US Marines there practicing. Yeah, just saying that there's a number of islands in the Straits of Hormuz or in the Persian Gulf, which are Iranian military, of military importance as far as the Iranians are concerned. And that the Donald might just send in the Marines to take those islands, and that they've working on or have already worked on a strategy to send in relatively small amounts of Marines here or there to take these various islands that are of sort of tactical strategic importance. But I mean, little places you've never heard of, the islands of Larak, Kish, Quijum and Abu Musa. Okay, but the thing is, if these drones or missiles they're sending into the most tight bit of the Strait of Hormuz, the Iranians are sending in missiles and drones as shipping passes through there, and the drones or missiles have got a range of 100 miles, 200 miles or something, well then they can be fired from 100, 200 miles inland. It's all very well to take these little islands actually in the Persian Gulf, actually in the Strait, but Iran will still be able, still have the capacity though to fire them from further inland. Am I missing something here? All right, but yeah, it's a story. Yeah, a story about how CENTCOM's talking about we can do this or that. We can take these little islands. Okay, well, okay. Good luck with that. I mean, genuinely, I'm not. That's not sarcastic. Good luck with that. I hope as few of your servicemen lose their lives as possible. Genuinely, but won't Iran still be able to fire things into the Strait though? All right, it's gone 10-2. Shall we just have a look at On This Day in History? I like doing that. You like doing that. Shall we have a look? What have we got? On this day, on the 23rd of March, down through the centuries, what happened of note? On the 23rd of March, in the year 1490, the first dated edition of Maimonides' Mishnah Torah is published, a code of Jewish religious law. Okay. 1775, Patrick Henry proclaims, "Give me liberty or give me death," in a speech encouraging Virginia troops to join the American Revolutionary War. Patrick Henry's great. I've got a fair bit of content, Harry, on Epochs and also on my own channel, History Bro. Sometimes in conversation with Benjamin Boyce, got quite a few hours of content about different figures in the Revolutionary War. I haven't got one specifically about Patrick Henry, but I'm pretty sure in one I talk about Patrick Henry for 5-10 minutes somewhere. He's a great firebrand. He was one of those people who was never cut out to actually be a congressman or a senator or anything after the United States won its independence. He wasn't cut out for that. A bit like Thomas Paine. What he was good at was being a rabble-rouser. That was his thing. again, a bit like Thomas Paine, he's good at writing inflammatory pamphlets and delivering incendiary speeches. That's what he was good at. Not the much more boring business of hammering out legislation and making a subtle argument behind the scenes. No, he was good at, well, give me liberty or give me death. Because it was the Massachusetts men, first and foremost, who were ready to fight the redcoats and stuff. And Virginia was had to be persuaded in some ways. They were a bit more loyalist, a bit more Tory, as they called it, even back then. Had to be persuaded to help the men of Massachusetts and others to fight, which they did, of course. Eventually. All right, on this day in 1919, the 8th Congress of the Russian Communist Party re-establishes a 5-member Politburo, which becomes the centre of political power in the Soviet Union. Original members are Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, Kamenev, and Krasinski. Okay, set the tone, set the pattern for many, many, many years to come, didn't it, that? So, okay. In 1933, German Reichstag hastily passes the Enabling Act and President Paul von Hindenburg signs it the same day, granting Adolf Hitler dictatorial powers. Okay. Well, just for the sake of it, not that there was some sort of communist insurgency going on, just for no reason. Okay, in 1945, the Battle of Okinawa. US Navy ships bomb the Japanese island of Okinawa in preparation for the Allied invasion, the largest battle of the Pacific War in World War II. Again, on Epochs and History Pro, got some content. Harry? Got various bits of content all about the war in the Pacific. I'm fascinated by the war in the Pacific. I don't think I've got anything specifically on Okinawa. But, yeah, probably the best bit of content I've got, in my opinion, was a long-form thing I did on Epochs about the road to Pearl Harbor, going back a century or more, how the Japanese found themselves at a point where they felt they needed to do the Pearl Harbor attack. But, yeah, the Battle of Okinawa, I mean, it's late in the war, isn't it? March 1945. But the Americans, you know, believe they had to do it, and it was so. Okinawa was one of the ones where loads and loads of civilians died, tens of thousands of civilians died, a lot of them committing suicide. They were told by the Japanese that the Americans were here to kill you all, and the worst thing you could ever do is allow yourself to be captured. No good Japanese person would ever do that. The right thing to do is to kill yourself and your whole family and your own kids. That's what you've got to do, rather than become a prisoner of the Americans. Or just do nothing and allow the Americans to control Okinawa, and now you're under their occupation. You've got to kill yourself first. You've got to jump off a cliff. Loads of the accounts of whole families, women and children, jumping off cliffs. Thousands of them. Okinawa. Terrible, frightful story. Heartbreaking. The Americans pleading with them, don't do that. Don't, like, there's no need to do that. Please don't do that. And they're doing it anyway. Okay, on this day in 2019, Syrian Democratic Forces announced that the last Islamic State territory has been retaken, raising flags at Baghouz in Syria and ending the five-year Islamic Caliphate. Yeah. And all the remaining ISIS fighters disappear. They're not just now still living in Syria, doing various things in Syria, killing loads of Christians in Syria. No, not that. No, it was just, no, ISIS was completely defeated and they're all gone now. Don't worry about it. Okay, should we have a look at the Rumble Rants, Super Chats and Rumble Rants? What have we got? Let me do this so I can see what I'm reading. All right. The Rumble Rants first. We always do Rumble Rants first, don't we? So, for Tim Barber, cheers, buddy. You say, have you seen, have you heard, have you seen this, have you heard about this? A farmer said the word. A general election we need this year, and Rupert is the choice, it's clear. All right. A general election we need this year, and Rupert Lowe is the choice, it's clear. Let's all rhyme for Restore. and shove the rotters out the door. From Zoomers to Boomers. From Zoomers to Boomers, aim high, vote low, millions must go. Yeah, cool. Slogans, they work. Normies like a slogan, don't they? Okay, Rick WGP says, are you and Nate going to start a live stream on Rumble, mate? Please say yes. I hate using PooTube. And I won't send super chats over there either. Now, fair enough. I get that you don't like YouTube, and a lot of people don't, and you don't want to give them money because they take loads. Super chat, like they, YouTube takes, like, I think 30% of it, something like that. Like a big chunk. That's a massive chunk, isn't it? Seems like. I get you, yeah. I'd have to ask Nate, because on that channel, State of Politics, Nate does everything on it. I literally just turn up and get on a stream with him and have a conversation. Everything else is done by Nate. The thumbnails, the uploading to YouTube and or Rumble or whatever, everything is done by him. So I'll mention it to him. We'll see what he says. You never know. He might go, yeah, great idea, why not? Or he might go, nah, that's too much hassle for whatever reason. It's not worth it. I don't know. I can't tell you. Nate does that. Same with this. I don't do any of the thumbs or the uploading or the cameras. I don't do anything. I just turn up and talk. Pretty sweet gig, really. Better than digging a ditch. All right. CookieBoy23 says, watch the mainstream media now start clipping the polls to only show the top four parties on the list, so Restore don't show up. Yeah, classic one, that. Yep, classic one. I won't be surprised. In fact, I'm sure you're right. I bet they do exactly that. Yeah. Yeah. They did. They pulled that on Reform for a long time. I remember when I was in Reform and they were polling at, when I first joined, they were polling at like 3%. And as they kept getting higher up to 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12%, they started doing that. Yeah. And then finally, they were too big to ignore. But yeah, I bet you're right. And then the last Rumble rant for today for Tim Barber says, the Cobra meeting is going to bring a nightmarish nonsense for us rather than tap up our own delicious North Sea oil. It's like watching children come up with ideas to fix complex physics questions. Yeah, it is a bit like that, isn't it? That's quite a good analogy, yeah. That's quite a good analogy. Yeah, whatever it is, you know, Ed Miliband will try and stop us from tapping North Sea oil because he's mad. Because that entire worldview, that entire paradigm, that drilling for oil is somehow evil and terrible, or the burning of fossil fuels is evil and terrible. It drives up man-made CO2, which drives climate change, which will make the ice caps melt and the sea rise. And it's not true. It's mad. 450 parts per million. Should we talk about that? Man-made CO2. Right. Man-made CO2. From 250 to about 450 parts per million. That drives climate change, does it? That will make sea levels rise, will it? Man-made CO2. That's what you're going with. That's the narrative you're going to try and peddle. Man-made CO2. 400 parts per million. 450 parts per million. That drives climate change. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It could not. What, you think CO2 used to be 20% of the atmosphere and now it's 40%? No, no. Went from 200, 250 to 400, 450 parts per million. Do you know how tiny that is? You can wrap your mind around how tiny that is. And that's going to make the ice caps melt. Therefore, we shouldn't burn fossil fuel. Mad. All right, let's have a look at the YouTube super chats. Global Church History in at number one. Okay, today in 798 AD, Charlemagne begins the Carolingian reforms. Yeah, cool. I must have. Have I got content on Charlemagne? I must have. I got content on his grandfather, the Hammer. Charles the Hammer. Did I do Charlemagne himself? I think I did. I can't remember. I should have done. If not, that's got to go top of this. Anyway, Charlemagne, absolutely fascinating, absolutely pivotal person for European history, Western European history, absolutely pivotal. Yeah, his reforms, you know, not just the church. Charlemagne was fantastically important, not just for, as a military commander, not just as a first Holy Roman Emperor, but also for his reforms, the Carolingian reforms, where reforms sort of administration and politics and education. He himself could barely read, just about read, and not really be able to write. But he was a big advocate for education, for as many, not as many people as possible, not universal education, but still education. Money, make a standardised money in Western Europe at least. Whole number of things. Changed the face of Europe, particularly Western Europe. Charlemagne, absolutely pivotal person, I would say. Well, undeniably. Kat Cora says, join, restore, save the Shire, Pippin. Yeah. Aim high, vote low, millions must go. Let's get this done. Restore, reform, are not going to do it. Nigel hasn't got the political backbone to even come close to doing what's needed, i.e. mass remigration. He said, if you alienate Islam, we lose. Isn't the exact opposite true? Isn't the exact opposite true? That it's impossible to deport millions, when Stephen Edgerton asked him. Oh, their policy now is a bit more robust than it was then, but they're still not talking about millions. Forced mass remigration. No, that wouldn't go down well on Sunday morning with Laura Koenigsberg, would it? That wouldn't go down well on Radio 4. Robert Peston would give him a hard time if he started saying stuff like that. I mean, when Rupert started saying stuff like that, he tried to get him arrested, didn't he, on false charges. What proved to be false charges. Reform people try and tell you there's no difference between Rupert and Nigel's policy. Yes, there is. Yeah, there's a big difference. The second Rupert started talking about it, Nigel ostracised him and tried to get him thrown in prison. Yeah, there's a difference. Yeah. No one's really buying that, that there's no difference. Okay? No one buys that. Mr. Dicky Bingo, not Dinky Bingo, Mr. Dicky Bingo says, we pick them up and return their boats, mate. Yeah, yeah, how mad is it? What we're doing in the channel is bizarre to me, to a lot of people. How we're behaving there is bizarre. We'll give the French best part of 500 million to do nothing. We'll pick them up, tow them into Dover, send them their boats back, give these people straight away like a mobile phone and a hotel room and loads of other stuff. So that they can then commit crime. Illegal invaders will give you everything. Go out into the general population and commit crime. Here's a lawyer to make sure we can't deport you. It's effed up, isn't it? It's effed. Can't swear. Okay. Joker777 says, aim higher, vote low, millions must go, boomers to zoomers. Know the score, join, restore. British to the core. Know the score, join, record, British to the core. I like that one. That's good. The English roar, we remember Agincourt. Nice, nice, nice. Field Marshal Dawn Browning. Doesn't say anything, but just gives us 10 Aussie dollars. Thanks, love. Appreciate that. Honestly do. Cheers. Good old Field Marshal. The Field Marshal, Dawn Browning. Richard Fleming doesn't say anything, but just gives a super chat there. Appreciate that. Cheers, buddy. We've got a fair few more to get through. It's already 10 past, so I'll whip through them. Harry Hobag said, did you watch the NLS3 at the weekend? NLS3? What's NLS3? I don't know. NLS3. Harry, I'm going to move on from this, but Harry, could you just Google NLS3? I feel like I should know what that is, but I don't. Just Google that, and in a minute I'll come back to you. So Harry Hobag, I'm going to Google that. I don't know what you mean by that. I feel like I should, but I don't. Sorry, off the top of my head. Okay. 00 Stefan says, I spoke to a Boris Wave migrant who told me the French police actively organise people onto the boats and point them in the right direction. I can believe it. I can believe it. The French. Not to be trusted. not to be trusted with our interest. Ever. Going back centuries, going back a millennia or more. What's not in our interest is in their interest in some way. Oh, okay, Harry's just brought up NLS. The Nürburgring. All right, the endurance race at Nürburgring. I saw a little bit of it, a tiny bit. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched a little bit because wasn't Max Verstappen racing in it? Max Verstappen was racing. He was in some sort of Red Bull-coded Mercedes crazy thing, wasn't he? I watched a bit of it. I saw a little bit of it, but I didn't watch it all by any means. I would like to. Didn't really have time. But yeah, could do. Would do. Okay, okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool. The field marshal pipes up with another 10 Aussie dollars. This time she says, when England Day is popular, how will you celebrate, Bo? Ooh. I don't know. God, I have to think about that. God, so we're so detached from something like that. I'm not. My mind isn't even popping up with great ideas. Have a cup of tea to start the day, of course. Let's start there. Just try and do loads and loads of English things. I don't know. Have a fry up. Go to the park, kick a ball about. Maybe. It'd be nice though, wouldn't it? England Day. Whenever there's something like a big anniversary of something really big, like Agincourt. Like St. Crispin's Day, something like that, or D-Day, 6th of June, every year, whatever, things like that, days that could well be used to sort of mark and celebrate England, St. George's Day, we get nothing, do we? In fact, on St. George's Day, you're bombarded with nothing but negativity about it. Oh, he's not English, you know. He's Turkish, you know. Well, it's the Roman province of Cappadocia, it's not Turkey. Anyway, forget St. George. We don't really have an England Day, do we? We should have one. We should do it. We should have many per year where we celebrate our own greatness. Trafalgar Day or something. Waterloo Day. Cressy Day. Whatever, yeah. All right. Persuasive expeditioner says, for the morons, the ambulances serve everyone, not only certain religions. Christians also have the same St. John's ambulance. All right, mate, calm down. 44 Magnum Norse says, there was much more CO2 when the dinosaurs were alive. Should we act like dinosaurs? Yeah, in geological time frames, CO2 has been way, 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 way higher. What did you have? Megafauna. Giant lily pads. Giant insects. It didn't destroy the world. Greta. Didn't destroy the world, did it? Al Gore. Yeah, quite right, Magnum Norse. Magnum Norse again says, my favourite line from Lord of the Rings was, there won't be a Shire, Pippin. Yeah, that's a good line. God, it's been a long time since I watched Lord of the Rings. It's got to be 10 years or more, feels like. Got to be. Should go back. Should go back and rewatch them. Opening Doors 1 says, thanks, Bo. See you tomorrow. Yeah, cheers, buddy. I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, we'll be here. Sheilas.2. says, I'm Zeitgeist Dotty from last Friday's Super Chat, Bo. Scrubs All White, do you have a piece on the Peterloo Massacre? I don't have a piece on the Peterloo Massacre. I should do that. People have asked me that before, actually. Yeah, maybe I should do it. It's quite interesting. Relatively small corner of history, but very interesting. I mean, not that small. I mean, it is important. But I usually do things a bit, usually, not always, but a bit broader than that. But I should do. I've definitely done things as focused as that before. Like the Nikkei riots or something. Yeah, I could do. I should do that at some point. People have asked me that before. Okay, so that is the show. It is now 14 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Monday, the 23rd of March in the year of our Lord, 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for watching. Without you, it isn't a thing. Try and make the best of the day ahead. It's a new start, a new week. If you've got free time, a little bit of free time of your own, you know. Try and make it count if you can. You've only got this time once. It's finite. Seize the day if you can. All right then, until tomorrow morning. Take care.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.